RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Here at RCR, we've been following quite closely, actually, for quite some time, the local body elections in Tauranga, and we've talked to quite a number of folk. And I want to welcome onto the program now, just before the votes close tomorrow, Martin Roseboom, who is standing for the Tauriko ward in the Tauranga local body elections. And it's great to have you on, Martin. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you very much, Paul, and thank you for having me.
Okay, well, it's been really interesting following this in Tauranga. It's one of the most, what's the word, intriguing. There's a real story behind, you know, with the commissioners and the spending and all sorts of issues. Fluoridation has come up. And, you know, it's been absolutely fascinating to follow. What's it been like for you, Martin, before we start talking about how you see things and what you want to happen in Tauranga? How's this whole thing been for you over, what, how many years? Well, how long have the commissioners been in place?
Pretty much 3 years. I'm not so much focusing on the commissioners. We've got them. That's what we've got to deal with. This is our return to democracy election. It's a little longer term for councillors than has been generally done in the past. This will be 4 years and 3 months.
Wow.
Those that are elected. It's been a bit of a struggle to get the general Tauranga public to engage, which has been a challenge.
Yeah, why is that, do you think?
Our local body elections haven't been great in the past. The last election only had a 40% participation rate. Going by the result, as is posted on the Tauranga City Council website, we may get to 40% again. I hope for more than that. I would like the next council to be a true representation of the public of Tauranga. So 50% has always been my goal.
Okay. Now, you're from Te Puke, right?
Originally born, born there, raised there, yes.
So has it changed much? There's a question. Since your youth there, your upbringing?
No, well, I was born and raised in Te Puke, did my high school in Te Puke, did all my early life working in Tauranga, and there are parts of both Te Puke and Tauranga that are pretty much the same as it was 40 years ago, yeah. And obviously other parts have changed dramatically, and that's just progress, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, I lived in Tauranga back in the 80s, I remember it well, and I left just before the bridge went over the harbour, so that's when I was there.
Yes. I moved out of Tauranga just as that was happening, yes.
Okay, we might have walked past each other and not even known. Okay, so originally a dairy farmer, but then you became a tutor, is that right?
Originally, I did a trade in engineering, and then when I met the wife, had some kids, I decided they might as well have the same upbringing that I had, so I went back dairy farming and raised my kids on the farm. And then I chose to leave dairy farming when the whole staffing issue got too much. And then I went into tertiary education and became an engineering tutor. And I'm still doing that to today.
Okay. And you stood in the Rotorua electorate for ACT as well.
I did. That came around purely by accident. I was part of the ACT party in Tauranga, Activate, promoting Cameron Luxton, having a great time. The general election came along. We're trying to work out how to promote ACT. So we divided up all our enthusiastic supporters and we all sort of semi-picked an electorate and tried to promote ACT for the general election. It was great fun. I enjoyed it.
So what are the issues in Tauranga? We've heard from other candidates. The way you see it, what are the main issues and what are you standing for to try and effect?
Yeah, my major gripe is why is Tauranga, a city of so much potential and people want to come and live here, why is our infrastructure development always after the people have got here? We're not thinking ahead. Every town in New Zealand is great. Well, most of them are growing. So therefore, the infrastructure should be in place a little bit when the people arrive, not wait until our roads are clogged. We've got nowhere for people to live, people living on boats in the marina, before we actually get on with building houses. So we need to get, my focus is on putting the money where we can attract people, we've got a real disconnect between what some industries want in the way of staff to what is available here. And a lot of industries are struggling to get the people that they want. So unless we have surplus housing or enough housing available to attract the suitably qualified people that Tauranga need, we're always going to be struggling to attract them.
That's happened before, though, hasn't it? I remember, you know, back in the day, Papamoa was a sleepy little, wasn't even really a suburb, I guess, little beach settlement, and that exploded. So it's happened before, hasn't it?
It has happened before. Most of where Papamoa is today, or the Papamoa ward itself, I used to pick up hay there when I was a young teenager. So it has grown a lot in my lifetime. But that comes down to not being prepared as a city for the growth that happens. And this new, what Chris Bishop was discussing in the week about, presumably the council's got to have 30 years worth of housing prepared in advance. That's going to put some pressure on everybody.
Yeah. I take it there is the land for that around in Tauranga area.
Well, there is land around. New Zealand's full of unoccupied land, but where do we expand to? And it's going to take a lot of cooperation with other councils, Western Bay, presumably, to work with to develop more housing for Tauranga.
So why hasn't that infrastructure work been done? Is it because that people were asleep at the wheel, or it's too front-loaded on cost for the ratepayers to bear? What are your thoughts on that?
Obviously the whole of who's going to pay for everything is the first front of line, and that's where most of Tauranga's upset at the moment with our 10-year plan. We've got huge spending in the CBD, which is putting huge pressure on the Tauranga City Council's budget, and it's going to be left for the ratepayers to pay it, which each individual project itself, probably one at a time, I'd be happy with, but to do so many so quickly is really going to put a strain on the budget and not leave us a lot of room for the other infrastructure that we need, expanding suburbs, because we have four currently in the pipeline around Tauranga, four residential subdivisions all coming on stream in the next few years.
Yeah, that's all water in, sewer in, all those things, right?
Yes, all those things. So you've got to put all the three waters in, all the roading infrastructure, all the cabling, power, and what sort of care. And obviously, it's all spread between all the entities, but it's all got to go in. And who pays for the upfront cost to get started? Development contributions are fine, but it's a lot of cost to lump on. Who pays for it? How do we attribute it? Some people want it to be paid solely by developers. It's a discussion for the new council to have.
Yeah, is the pressure coming from New Zealanders wanting to move to Tauranga, or is migration a pressure point as well? Just curious.
I would go a bit of both. Well, we have a very large horticulture industry in and around the Bay of Plenty. They need a lot of migrant, well, seasonal staff, because we haven't really tapped back into the tourism trade. Tourism backpacker trade hasn't really got going as yet. So we're relying on a lot of the island workers, ROC workers, to fill up gaps in the horticulture. Our industry is growing. It's in a bit of a flat spot at the moment, like the rest of the country, but it will take off again. And we have skill shortages in a lot of areas, like a lot of other towns in the country. So we're trying to attract people.
All right, specific campaign policies from you, Martin. There's the long-term plan. What, you want a review and amendment of the 2024 to 2034 long-term plan? Tell us about that.
Yes. I'm pushing for an amendment. Scrapping the whole thing may be challenging, depending, because some of the projects have already started. And I personally don't know what the commissioners and the council staff have already signed up for, what contracts they've actually committed to. And they haven't seen them, so I don't know how they lay it out or what the costs are incurred or what the costs could be of getting out of them. But definitely do an amendment. Those that we can defer, definitely defer, and put money into where it's needed most of Tauranga residents want our roading fixed. And yes, we do have two roads of national significance going in, the northern link out to Omokoroa and State Highway 29 through Tauriko. They're both underway as I speak, and that's a combination of NZTA and Tauranga City Council funding. But that's where the Tauranga residents want the priority to go, is freeing up traffic so we don't spend so much time parked.
Yeah. We've had a bit of coverage of the NZTA plan to put the wire barrier in between Omokoroa and Karikari, and how they're not letting people turn right. What do you make of that?
It is frustrating that quite clearly the local residents that live along the road are not on the same page as NZTA or vice versa. I understand the reasoning for the locals. Not being able to turn right and having to go all the way down to a roundabout and come back is frustrating. There's a couple of suburbs in Tauranga or little housing areas that have the same issue. It's not ideal. It's obviously an idea that's brought about trying to prevent accidents from occurring, because that road is very congested at peak times. And maybe New Zealand isn't as polite as we used to be about letting traffic in and off side roads.
Yeah, maybe. It does seem to be part of this road to zero, you know, and some people think you're never going to get zero. And when you start to create a 6-kilometre round trip just to turn right into your road, you can see where the frustration comes from.
I'm fully on board with the residents. It is very frustrating. It is a competing ideology, convenience versus road safety. I don't know where the answer is in this, but yeah, I definitely feel for the residents who are trying to stop the barrier going in.
What's your thinking regards Māori wards?
This has been a discussion on the campaign trail as well. My personal view is I'm opposed to them. I think there's a better way to get better representation. I've spoken to several people on the campaign trail. Can one candidate evenly represent all 17 iwi and hapu in the Tauranga City Council area? Most people say no to me. But again, I prefer it to be a community discussion as opposed to an arbitrary statement that we will have them or not have them. There has to be a better way to include all of the voices of Tauranga in the election process.
Yeah, but people can stand like you are and can make their case and be supported, and that's really the way it works, isn't it?
It is true. What I find interesting is our previous council that was kicked out by the local government minister was 10 councillors and one mayor. Now we're having an election and we're having 9 councillors, or 8 councillors, a Māori ward councillor and a mayor. So we've lost one. So we've got slightly less representation per councillor than we had previously. So what is the right number of councillors?
To vest all that representation in one councillor?
It is a lot. You've got to be prepared to get out. Like, I'm standing in a ward, the Tauriko ward, for example, but once I'm on council, I've got to listen to and represent all of Tauranga around the table.
Yeah.
So do we need wards or councillors at large? Again, I'd sooner the community decide what they want, get them to engage in this conversation. But as I've found on the campaign trail, getting people to comment on things is a bit of a struggle.
Well, they just don't want to say anything.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to work out why that is.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, some people talk very freely about this and they're quite adamant in their views. Others are more willing to just have a general consensus. But unless everyone has a view or expresses their view in a definitive way, how do we know which is the correct way that the people actually want?
What's your attitude to the fluoridation of public water supplies?
Having done lots of reading and research on this, I'm opposed to it, but I understand that the Director General has made a determination, and apparently Tauranga is getting it in September. Whether there's time for the newly elected council to do anything about that, I don't know. I'm not fully up with how we can get out of it, if that's what the general public... But my talking to the general people in the street, they do not want fluoridation of the water.
Well, it's pretty clear, and we've had experts on from all over the world, it's pretty clear that, you know, there is very strong science, don't like to use that word lightly these days, that shows that it has effect on IQ, et cetera, especially for young people.
Yes.
As they grow up. And also, it's a compulsory medication of a primary input to human life. It's mass medication. And that can never be okay, right?
No, it can never be okay. And it actually it runs contrary to our Bill of Rights.
Yeah. So yeah. Why should anyone take notice of what the Director General of Health has said?
Well, this is true, but he can direct councils to do certain things, basically. Whether it's a choice, whether the councils agree by choice, or whether they agree because they had a big stick held over them, I don't know. That'll have to learn.
Okay, well, if it was your call, what would it have been?
No fluoridation in the water. But
I'm just wondering, and a lot of our listeners will be wondering, the timidity of the leadership. Is you got to stand up for the people, right? You got to do what's right. And if you're being commanded to do something that's obviously morally wrong, because you can't compulsorily medicate everyone without a choice and override the Bill of Rights and then fine the ratepayers ultimately, I think, it could be up to $10,000 a day, et cetera, and then force, I know they're subsidizing the capital cost of the equipment, and just taking it lying down, really?
Yeah. This is part of the whole elected thing. Prior to the election, I was asking a lot of people about who do we want on the council? Who do we want to represent us? Are we going to shoulder tap people? And that's when the conversation went, well, you're obviously asking, so you stand.
Okay.
So I had a conversation.
Yeah, that's easy.
So I stood. I found two willing nominees to nominate me. It didn't take them long. They just basically signed it, paid my $200, and I'm here.
Yeah.
Now I've got to stand for what I've said in the past, basically. So if I opposed to fluoridation in the past, always have been. So if I get 9 other like-minded councillors plus me around the table, hopefully we can all agree. But at the end of the day, whether I agree or don't agree, I'm still 1 of 10.
Yeah.
So I have to be able to articulate an argument or a conversation to get them to us all agree moving forward that we're all opposed to it, and then agree on a course of action that we can take to not do it if everyone in the community still tells us that they don't want it.
But what if a decision like that is taken because of, I won't say willful ignorance, but if you're not staying across, you know, the latest information, it kind of is with councillors and council officers not being aware of, first of all, the Bill of Rights, and second, that there's a real downside to the compulsory mass medication through the water supply, and that there's really no evidence to back up that it improves, you know, on tooth decay when people are wheeling out trolley loads of Coke from supermarkets.
Yes, I do agree with you on that. If the people aren't actually drinking the tap water, how is it improving their teeth health or their tooth health? If they're just drinking bottled fizzy drinks, and there's far more effective ways of looking after your teeth. I was brought up in rural New Zealand, so all my water was pretty much either artesian bore water or tank water.
Yep.
And Mum was quite forceful. Thou shalt brush teeth twice a day.
Yeah.
And we didn't have sugary drinks, so I've still got my teeth.
Yeah, there you go. All right, going back to what you said earlier, the opaque nature of the contracts that you mentioned, signing ratepayers up potentially for, well, what could be billions, and a debt that could end up costing, you know, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands a day to pay off just in the interest.
I wouldn't call the contracts opaque, it's just that we haven't seen them.
Well, every ratepayer should see them, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and I can understand the argument for commercially sensitive until they've started them. I can understand that because it's the way contracts work. But somebody must know what they are, and somebody must be able to see them and decide whether or not the Tauranga ratepayer is getting value for money. And who decides?
Well, how would you know?
Yeah, exactly.
How would you know?
And this is the job, and unfortunately we've had commissioners for 3 years. Have they worked in our best interest? They've certainly moved a few things along, but has the Tauranga ratepayer got value for money out of it? And until another council comes along and runs a fine tooth comb through all the contracts and see what they've signed, haven't signed, agreed to, we won't know, are we getting value for money?
Have you been out door knocking, Martin? Is that what you've been doing all this time?
Been door knocking, going to meetings, trying to get people engaged in conversations, visiting friends and family to do some campaigning on my behalf. Just answering questions. Yeah, the whole door knocking thing's a bit of a challenge because I work full time. I've sort of only got the weekends, and most Tauranga folk are out doing their sports on Saturday. And Sunday, they don't really want to talk to me.
No. So who's that at the door? Yeah. Okay. Well, how have you got your campaign message out? How have the local media been treating the candidates? Has there been a reasonable amount of coverage? Have you been able to get messaging out through their reporting?
No, well, it's quite a contrast. On the national campaign last year, Standing for ACT, I must have had 3 or 4 contacts a week with the local media. On this local body election, I've had none.
Why would that be? Do you think they just don't see it as important enough, or that their viewers and readers aren't really interested? Because it's important, right? I mean, this is important stuff.
Oh, I agree. This is very important. Who you select to council's going to have a big impact on where your rates go for the next 4 years. So it is a very important decision. We've got 15 candidates standing for mayor, so took the media and the paper a long time to get through those 15, and there's about 60 others standing for council, so they're not going to be able to give everyone a page, for example. It's just too many to get through. So they've picked on a few candidates for various different reasons. Fine, can't argue with those. And they've got a bit of coverage. The rest of us have had to push on as best we can.
How do you think you'll do? Because voting is... It closes off in the weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is it. There's no polling. There's no numbers. There's no to-ing and fro-ing. So I had a phone call on the weekend. Somebody has been running a phone poll, which is quite interesting. I've had lots of text and messages around. Some people get rung up by a lady, some by a guy. No one can work out who's actually doing the polling. But based on someone's got hold of some results or some indication, and apparently it's very close in some wards.
Yep. In your ward?
What that means, I don't know.
Okay, you don't know yet. Oh, okay. So someone's been making some sort of attempt to poll the voters.
There has been some online polling being conducted. Of the people I've spoken to, they don't know who's conducting the polling. And the questions are around... what are your 1 or 2 choices for mayor, and what ward are you in, and what's your 1, 2, 3 or whatever? That's about the questions.
Well, not the issues necessarily.
No, it's just how you're voting more than anything.
Aren't the issues the important part?
Oh, they are the important part. I don't know whether you know, but over the last couple of weeks, there's been 2 lists come out that are floating around the candidates.
Yeah.
One list is put out by a guy, Morris O'Reilly. Apparently he does it regularly. I've never actually met the man. His list is of who he thinks would be the suitable candidates. Yeah, I'm on that list.
Oh, that's all right, I suppose.
Yeah, it's all right. Time will tell. And another one is a list, apparently, the accusation is it's a handwritten list by Tembi Powell that's floated around of his, who he thinks would be a preferred choice for candidate for council. I'm not on that list, and the 2 lists are quite different.
Okay. All right. So pretty hard to draw anything too concrete from that by the sounds of things.
Oh, no, it's just 2 lists of 2 gentlemen who have written some names on a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And circulated it around, yeah.
Not really a thing. All right. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll know pretty soon. When will you kind of be able to gauge how you've done?
there's going to be a, well, results will be announced, or as the elections officials know, Saturday afternoon about 3:34. I think we'll get emailed the list, and then it'll be notified to the media, I believe, and then it will go onto the Tauranga City Council website, and there'll be a preliminary results list on Sunday evening. Again, I suppose the same sequence, email to the candidates, then release to the media, and then put on the Tauranga City Council webcam. And then the final results, the official results, aren't announced till Thursday.
Okay, but you should get a pretty good idea from those preliminary results, I would imagine.
Yes, I would imagine so, yes.
Yeah. All right, interesting talking to you. Thanks for coming on, Martin.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity.
And good luck. Okay, good luck.
No, thank you.
We'll be keeping an eye on those places as well, because we're quite interested in this. So Martin Roseboom, who is a candidate for the Tauriko ward in the Tauranga Council elections, thanks for coming on RCR. We may talk again.
Thank you very, very much.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.